Please be seated. So this Lenten season, our congregation has been going through a book that was written in the 1600s called The Pilgrim's Progress. And it's an allegory of scripture. And so unfortunately for our guests, you don't have the book and you haven't been reading alongside of us. But all the same, we hope that the message today may reach you and minister to you. So what we'll do is we have a children's book and we just have one small section that will be read. So I invite Diane forward.
Resuming his journey, Christian came to a fork in the road. There were two signs, each pointing a different way. Patience Path, a path full of rocks and narrow and steep. Passion Passage, stretching over the flatland, pleasant, lush, and green. Christian had learned not to veer off the path after being tempted to choose an easier way. This time, choosing the more difficult upward path, patience path, Christian persevered through the struggle and reached the top. It was there that the light of the cross broke the bindings of his heavy burden. At last, Christian was free. It was Salvation Hill that Christian was converted and transformed. The Shining Ones sang with delight and clothed him with new garments for his new life. Stepped out alone in sorrowed burden, faced hardship, heartache, and attack. Stood firm, learned to see beyond sight. Now, not alone, you join the fight. So be free, excuse me, so be refreshed, O gentle pilgrim, a pauper prince you have become, no longer burdened or alone, that many steps closer to home.
So as we journey through this series and we follow Christian from his path, we look to two scripture passages this morning, the first one from Isaiah 61 and a selected verses followed by Mark 10, verse 45. And you may find these words familiar. Jesus quoted them in Luke when he began his ministry. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And verse 10, I think. Mark. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom from many. These are the words of Jesus. I don't really remember how old I was, but I know that growing up, our parents would almost every Sunday after church either have someone over for coffee or we would go somewhere for coffee, which meant that no matter where you went, you were wearing your Sunday best. And I'm talking in those years, you were dressed in your best of the best of the best, like you were going to a wedding. So here I was. My parents went to visit friends and they had children. I was a terribly shy child. And so my mom said, okay, Nancy, she gave me basically two commands. Go play with the other kids. Don't get your Sunday dress dirty. Well, all the other kids came home from church and promptly got changed, and they put on their swimsuits, and they had, we were all very small, and they had a kiddie pool with a little slide. And I'm watching them. They're having so much fun, and I'm like torn, right? Like, I want to be a really good girl. I really do, but I have to break one of my mother's commands. Either I don't play with the kids, or I do play with them, or I get my clothes dirty. Well, you can well imagine that as a little kid watching everyone else having fun in the pool, there was no choice. I had to break that rule. I was going to go. And I justified it, like we all do when we do bad things. I'm not going to get dirty. It's clean water. Right? Makes sense. Well, at the same time, I went forward with just a little bit of guilt because I really love my mom. I really want to be a good girl and obey. But so I came up to the slide, but I kind of ran because I thought, if I'm halfway up the slide, Mom can't stop me anymore. But as I did so, the slide went up, moved out of the pool, and I slid into the grass and muck and grass stains and filthy, filthy, filthy clothes. I mean, it couldn't have gotten any worse. I thought, oh, no, I'm really in for it. You know, when you've done something bad, you kind of anticipate some kind of reprimand, or, you know, maybe in those days you still got a good scolding. But I was met with an understanding hug from my mom. She hugged me, and she felt so bad that I was embarrassed because the other kids were laughing because they didn't know who I was. I was just the dummy that made a mess of herself. And then the host came, and she brought a beautiful dress. It was brand new. She had bought it for her daughter. And she took off my dirty clothes. We went somewhere else, just to say. She took me into the house, and she gave me this beautiful, beautiful new dress to wear. And I thought, wow, do I ever feel special? I've never had a new dress. My parents always gave me secondhand. We didn't have much money. And then the hostess said, you know what? You don't just have to wear this till you go home. I'm going to give it to you. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Like, what did I deserve? A brand new dress. I've never had a brand new dress in my life. I had just disobeyed my mother. And here my mother gives me a hug, and she dresses me in a brand new dress. Can you imagine? Have you ever had such an incredible gift given to you when you really didn't deserve it? That's what Christian experienced as he came up to the cross. You see, Christian is a pilgrim, and he was burdened with, well, I have choices to make, and I make the wrong ones, and he felt guilty, and he knew there was a cost to that, and so he's kind of waiting for the hammer to fall on him, and that's represented by, in the story, a burden on his back, just this guilt, this shame, or just, you know, I coulda, woulda, shoulda've moments in our lives. Christian felt all of that, and it's represented as a burden on his back. But somebody tells him, just start going toward the light. See where it takes you. And as he moves toward the light, Christian begins to understand that sometimes it feels like you don't have a choice, but there will be love and grace that meets you on the other side. And he wants to be free of this burden. And so he keeps going to the light, not understanding the cross. And as he comes to the cross, without him doing anything, his burden falls off. He wasn't good enough. He didn't deserve it. It just fell off. The cross reveals profound truths, says Max Lucado. Picture it, one beam stretches horizontally, representing God's boundless, boundless love, reaching out to all of humanity. The other beam points vertically, symbolizing that God is so holy, and he has standards. He has standards that must be met. He has standards that, you know, when things are wrong, he needs to bring justice to it. But there at the intersection of the cross, something extraordinary happens. God forgives his children without compromising his holiness. Jesus Christ takes on the justice and the wrath that God needs to make things right. He places our sins upon his Son, who willingly receives the blow meant for each one of us. And with that forgiveness comes boundless freedom to live fully, knowing that grace triumphs over judgment. And we step from darkness into light. And in that moment, Christian receives new clothes. You don't deserve it, but I love you enough, I'm going to hug you. And you're right with me. In that very moment, Christian receives three beautiful gifts. First of all, in this story, this is water, by the way, not coffee. Christian receives a mark on his forehead. Look familiar? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are baptized and sealed with God's grace. You have a mark on your forehead in which God declares symbolically, you are mine, you are my child, you belong to me. Just like any parent who has a newborn child says, you're part of this family now. Then Christian receives the shiny new clothes. His burden falls off. And lastly, he receives a scroll. And that scroll represents several things. One, it represents the Word. Jesus Christ calls himself, I am the Word of God. I am the one who has come down to earth to tell you and show you who your God is. He is the Word. And then his word is written in this beautiful book or scroll that was given to Christian in our story. And in there are several things. The main one for Christian at this point was in Revelation. It says, your name is written in God's book. It's like a birth certificate. Your name is written with your parents' name and your name, and you belong. Anyone who wants to find out who you are, they're going to find out that your name is written as part of the family. God does the same for you and I. And thirdly, the book was an encouragement for Christian. You see, there are times, even after you've come to the cross, that you feel burdened, that you have doubts, that you're not so sure that God is real. And sometimes when hardships come our way, we can't help but just give up, become despairing, have anxiety, have doubts. And then Christian is told, whenever you have moments like that, read the Word, because it's there to encourage you of God's boundless, boundless love. That no matter what comes your way, God meets you with his grace. He loves you. You're part of his family. There's nothing you can say that will ever separate you from his love. Think of a belligerent child like I was in that little moment with my mom. She could have met me with anger, but she didn't. She met me with love. The hostess met me with a gift. That's how God feels towards his children. Well, let's step back and talk a little bit more about the shiny new clothes of righteousness. What does it represent? Well, we've said it's a gift from God. The Westminster Catechism, and I know we don't often talk about old manuscripts, but sometimes they say it the right way. The Westminster Catechism, question and answer 33, describe righteousness this way. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace in which he pardons all of our sins. He accepts us as righteous or doing right in his sight for the sake of Christ's righteousness alone, which is credited to us and received by faith alone. Okay, those are a whole bunch of big words. And I have a profession class at the other church, and we were talking about this, and the young adults were just kind of looking at me going, I don't know what you're talking about. So I took my boom speaker. They're about $300-$400 nowadays. And I put it on the table in front of me. And I said, it's yours if you want it. And of course, they all just looked at me and went, you know, that's a $300-$400 speaker. And I said, this is how it went down. 2,000 years ago or more, Jesus Christ offered himself up on the cross in exchange for the judgment or the discipline or whatever that we deserved. And he exchanged it for love and grace toward us. And on the cross, Jesus said then, Father, forgive them. And later on, he said, it is finished. You see, our forgiveness happened 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. You have been forgiven. I said to the kids, and Jesus gives you this gift. You have been forgiven. Take it if you want it. Now, none of the kids took it. And I think sometimes we find that too. It's so hard to get something for nothing. Oh, you know, like I'll take this gift that you're giving me, but what can I give you back? What can I do for you? How can I earn this gift? No, no, no. Jesus says, I don't want you to earn it. You can't earn it. You're never good enough. Not any of us are. It's yours for the taking. New clothes of righteousness is a free gift of God for your eternal life. Well, second, it's a righteousness, and shiny new clothes is about inward transformation. In the Pilgrim's Progress story, Christian moves on from the cross, and then two other guys, Formalus, which is the law keeper, and Hypocrisy, who says he's following Jesus, but has never once either of them come to the cross. They're hopping over the fence. They pride in their own achievements and remain under the law. They see no need for the cross. And they tell Christian, we just feel awful. But they think they're on the Christian way. And Christian compassionately tells them, you can't do anything to earn salvation. It's a free gift. Just take it by faith. And it's about the inward transformation that happens when we receive the gift. We live lives of thanksgiving, not to earn our salvation, but in response. Like sending a thank you card. Thank you for the beautiful new dress. Wow. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12, in view of God's mercy then, and he's talking about after you have received Christ's salvation, after you've taken it by faith, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't keep falling into the ways of this world, but be transformed by training your mind to think about heavenly things. Then you will be able to see and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Choosing to live rightly is a response to God's incredible grace. And so we do that not because we have not already been forgiven, but because when we stand in the light, we recognize where we fall short, and we take by faith that promise of God that we have been forgiven. That's called repentance. Re as a do-over, like redo, remake, repent. I often think of pent as a penthouse. It's kind of the word that comes to mind. A penthouse is the top one of a tall building, right? And when you stand outside or, you know, on the patio or something, and you're looking down on this city, you're in the penthouse seeing things as a whole. When we repent, we come back to God's view, how it's supposed to be. And we carry that in our hearts, and then we do our best to just respond and live as Jesus lives, with love, with grace. Now, that also becomes a bit of a challenge, you see, because that takes us to Isaiah 61, which is speaking about robes of righteousness. It's much more than just the forgiveness of our sins. So when we read our passage again, we see different responses. of what it means to be righteous. Righteous is doing right. Robes of righteousness are a free gift of God, but they call us to respond with gratitude. And so Isaiah and Jesus himself says, preach the good news to the poor. Live justly. Bring justice to a broken world, the brokenhearted. Actively pursue justice against all that is set against God and his desire for freedom of all people. Set those who are in darkness or in prison, whether those are prison bars or prisoned in your fear or anxiety, reach out to them. Bring them justice. Free them. Comfort those who mourn. Freely cover those who walk in darkness with the love of God. And then to walk in the hope of Christ by putting on garments of praise rather than of despair. As our song, The Jesus Way, noted, no matter what comes, we will praise our God. Jesus quotes Isaiah 61 when he began his ministry. And it's a declaration that talks about the year of the Lord's favor. That's the year of Jubilee. Now that takes a little bit of knowledge of the Old Testament, of the way that God wanted things to do, to be. But every 50 years, God said, this is what you have to do, O Israel. You got to set things right. You have to bring justice. So if there was someone whom you bought their inherited land for whatever reason, after 50 years, you had to give it back to them because everyone deserves their inheritance. If you had loaned someone money and it was still owing to you in the year of Jubilee, you had to forgive their debt. If you had a slave in year 50, you would have to set them free. This is the justice that God proclaimed. He's saying doing right means everyone gets equal access to food, clothing, shelter. It's a bit of an imbalance in our world today. For those who have much, they tend to hang on to it. And God says, but part of that is my call to justice. I have given you more. Freely you have given, or freely you have received. Freely give. And that's just not about finances. It's about your time, your energy, your talents. Who needs you to minister to them? Who needs love? Who needs comfort? Who needs the call to bind up their broken hearts? So then Isaiah 61 verse 10 tells us what results. Our souls rejoice in God, for he has clothed us with garments of salvation and given us a robe of his righteousness. This free gift that we've been given, he challenges us to pass on in his name. In the storybook, Christian describes his freedom this way. The new clothes are the promise that press me forward into a relationship with Christ. I am paraphrasing a little. The one who died for me, says Christian, and to live with the company I love best. The one whom I love because he eased me of my burden. To be where I die no more, and with all the saints who praise, singing, holy, holy, holy. Christian recognizes that his name is written in the book from the time that he came to the cross to carry him through this life and well into the next life, where he will meet God face to face. Where we hear that first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And this is eternal life, says Jesus, that you know God and the Son whom he has sent. It's not harps and angel wings. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But it's about a restored relationship with God, where you know that by his grace, you're loved no matter where you're at, no matter how broken you feel, no matter what you've done in your past, you're loved. You have been saved. You have been sealed with eternal life in him. Christian rejoices. His relationship with God is restored. Hallelujah, he proclaims. And so we're invited to start walking toward the light. Invited to come to the cross and surrender our burdens there. Not because of anything that we have done, but just because we have faith to take the gift. With these three things, a mark on his forehead, shiny new clothes, and a scroll, Christian presses on towards the glorious celestial city. There he will meet his God face to face, and he will proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Christian wrote a poem. We're just going to end with that. If we have that on the PowerPoint, that was in the book that we're reading together. And this was Christian's response when his burden fell off. "Thus far I did come, burdened with my sin, nor could I find relief from my grief within. Until here I came, what a place is this? Here shall be the beginning of full eternal bliss. Now my burden falls from my back forever, from the cords that bind it. By grace my grief is severed. Blessed cross, blessed tomb. Rather, most blessed by the man who there was put to shame, a shame he took for me." Thanks be to God for the free gift, for shiny new clothes. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your profound grace. Sometimes we don't always recognize just how much we fall short, how much we deserve reprimands. All those things that we carry that are burdening us and that build up over time. This morning, Lord, especially as we came as a community and around your table and you reminded us very tangibly, "This bread is my body broken for you. This cup is my blood shed for you." And we recognize, oh God, that we could never have paid the price like you did when you suffered on the cross. And we're so humbled and we're so grateful that you just offer this incredible gift, and all we need to do is say, "By faith, I receive your gift." We're so grateful. We're so grateful for a gift that costs so much and yet is free for us. Father, move in our hearts by your Holy Spirit that we then may respond with gratitude and with joy. There's something about your profound grace where we know in our hearts we don't want to go back to doing and living the way that we did and lived before. That we want to live for you. That we want to see your justice on this earth, in creation, in people, in hope. It is our prayer and our desire that none should be in want. So as we share of our finances, as we share of our time, as we share of our love, Lord, bless it so that none may go hungry, unsheltered. We pray that we may continue to set prisoners free, to take time to gather together and encourage one another. Lord, we're never too busy to do your work, and so we pray that the clothes of righteousness that we have freely received, we might share with others in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to respond to that wonderful gift of grace, and we're going to shout to the Lord of all the goodness that he has done. Let's stand and sing. People of God, receive your garments of praise rather than of despair. receive the gift of Christ who has died for you, and go as righteous oaks, strong in the name of the Lord your God. Amen.